All right, this is Lesson 11 in Children's Church 101, part of Baptist Basics University. This lesson is titled The Total Package. We'll be wrapping up this series with this lesson. And I hope that these lessons have been a blessing to you if you've made it this far. I appreciate your attention, and I hope that I've been able to be a help with you, giving you some of the things that I've learned and picked up and stumbled across. And I hope that maybe be a challenge to you, informative, and help to have you have a more effective children's church ministry. In this series, we've covered a lot of the different areas, from song leading to preaching to discipline to promotions, and just pretty much dealt with everything that has to do with the ministry. But we need to resist the temptation that there is to compartmentalize and separate all this out into all these different areas. We need to keep from having this is the song service, this is the preaching, this is the fun time, you know, this is the invitation. Everything needs to flow together to be one big program. And this may be hard to do if you've got more than one person. You have a song leader, you have a preacher, you have then, you know, somebody who plays games, you have all these different, if you have a, you know, a lot of workers and you have something like that going, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But this entire time needs to go by seamlessly. It needs to come across as one total package. Listen, no matter how hard you try, you're always going to have strengths and weaknesses in your ministry. I don't like this philosophy that's going around nowadays of, you know, you need to neglect your strengths and work on your weaknesses. I think God gives you some strengths for a reason. I mean, that's like telling an offensive lineman in football he needs to be faster. Well, he may need to be a little quicker, but he really ought to be trying to get a little bit stronger, because that's where he's needed, is brute force. He's not needed to be, run the 4.440 and all that. He needs to be strong, needs to be big, and needs to block. He doesn't need to worry about catching passes and things like that. So, you know, I'm not a fan of that. I don't say focus on your strengths and completely neglecting your weaknesses. That's setting you up for some trouble. But nonetheless, I think God gives us gifts for a reason, and we need to use them. It doesn't work in real life to have that type of philosophy. But you can adjust and tailor fit your ministry around your strengths. If you have a guy who can really preach very good, you may not have somebody who sings, who can lead songs very well. Well, don't have a big song service. Let the guy who can preach really good, let him have a little bit more time. Maybe it's the other way around. You don't have somebody who can preach very well, but you have somebody who can lead sing. Well, you might want to devote a little bit more time to your song service and a little less time to your preaching. I know that sounds like heresy, but you need to do these kind of things to make your program work. If you have somebody who can play games and stuff with the kids and really have a lot of excitement, you plug them in. Don't let that take over the service, but have that as a very effective part. Use it as a reward for kids that are good. Excuse me. That's one of the great things about Children's Church. You can practically do anything you want to back there, as long as it's moral, scriptural, legal, etc. There's no set rules or ideas. You don't have to even pattern your service after a traditional service, like I've talked about, having, you know, singing, preaching, invitation. You can do whatever you want. Now, it's very effective, and there's reasons why I think you ought to keep it that way. But you can do whatever you want. Have the kids come right in, sit down, have somebody tell a Bible story, then sing, then have preaching. You can do whatever you want. The way I've modeled the children's church ministry that I envision, and to an extent what we do at our church, is something of a cross between a traditional church service and a program I'd lead on a bus. You may need to tone it down a little bit and have it a lot more traditional. That's fine. If you want to have it wild and crazy, something like you'd be leading on a bus, that's fine too. You need to find something that's effective for you. And that's really the secret to a lot of these things. You can try to be something you're not. You can try to be a super strict disciplinarian. You may not be. If you're not, don't try to be. Now, do have discipline. By all means, have discipline. But if you are a very solemn person, you're not going to come across being a big clown. It's not going to work. You really need to be who you are. Kids pick up on fakes very quickly. But you just need to find a way that you can be effective. As I said before, when it comes to preaching, I preach very effectively to little kids telling Bible stories. Some people probably can't tell a Bible story. They would do better preaching a traditional four-point outline. That's fine. You do whatever you need to do, as long as it's scriptural, legal, moral, to reach these kids. A lot of things I've said have really centered around having a lot of bus kids in your service. That's what I'm used to working with. You may have separate services for bus kids. You may not even have a bus ministry. Perhaps somebody listens doesn't even have a bus ministry. Hopefully, I'll be able to put together another series similar to this on starting and running a bus ministry. But you may have just all church kids. Well, you can probably tone things down quite a bit. You probably don't have to be quite as evangelistic with them. If these kids come every week, they're probably safe. Don't eliminate it by all means, but you probably don't have to have that big a push. You probably won't have as many discipline problems. But, you just tailor-make your program for your needs. And this sounds like you need to be an expert at it. You really don't. It may take some trial and error. It will probably take a few really, really rough services as you try things out. But you can do it. You can do it. It's not that hard. Listen, no matter what it is, you can find something that works for you. And no matter what that is, find it, use it, develop it, and don't just stop when you think you found something that works for you. You know, if you're like, wow, this just works great for me, I'm going to use it. Well, eventually you'll end up beating a dead horse because it won't be effective anymore. You've got to constantly be changing, learning, keeping things fresh. You know, it's okay to every now and then throw in a completely different program schedule than what you usually run. You run a risk of having a lot more discipline problems when you do that, but you may want to do that for just some variety, to add a little spice to it. That's fine. That's great. As I say, the great thing about this is you can do practically anything you want. If you want to have a clown come in every week, that's great. Use it. As long as it works, that's fine. Now, if it doesn't work, don't do it every week. If you have somebody that can do magic tricks, I know magic may not be the best word, but does the little magic tricks and stuff and can tell Bible stories. We have a guy in our church that'll do that during our Bible school. Now, he probably wouldn't be great at doing it every week, but doing it that one time a year, it's pretty effective. And, you can... I say the sky's the limit to what you can do. You can do anything you want to in this. And you can have a lot of fun. You can keep it pretty low-key. Do whatever you need to do to make it effective. And don't just make it so you're having fun or making it so it's easy on you. Find a way to make it effective so you're getting your message across, so you're making an impact in these kids' lives. Don't sacrifice your goal of running a great program. Don't sacrifice your goal for the sake of running a great program or eliminating discipline problems. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and probably just because I grew up on a dairy farm and I relate to it somewhat, is Proverbs 14:4, which says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox." I think what this is talking about is, of course, by oxen. Oxen was what was the animal that they would use to pull plows. That's very strong. They didn't usually, I guess, eat oxen. These were their tractors back in the day. They pulled their plows, pulled their carts. These were work animals, beast of burden. But the problem is, when you have an ox, you've got to feed the ox, and that ox is going to make a mess. You're going to have to clean it. If you've got them in the stall, you're going to have to clean out the stall. Growing up on dairy, I remember we would get the cows up to milk, and my dad milked in a flat barn. I don't know how many head he milked. It was less than 100, maybe 60, 70, something like that. But we would get the cows up and get them up all up in this lot, and the lot had a concrete slab foundation, and we'd get them up in there, close the gate behind them, and he'd let in a few at a time and milk them and let them back out. Well, as those cows stood out there in the lot or in the dairy barn, they made a mess. That's what cows do. It's what animals do. Well, you had to clean up. Well, can you imagine the dairy farmer saying, well, I'm tired of cleaning that lot. I don't think I'm going to get the cows up anymore. Well, if he didn't get the cows up to milk them and didn't have them in the lot, didn't have them in the barn, well, he ain't making no milk. He's not making any money. It's a trade-off. If you're going to make progress, if you're going to make a living in agricultural type business, there's going to be some waste. There's going to be some things that just aren't that fun. They're just natural byproducts of things. That's what this verse is talking about. If you're not getting anywhere, you're going to have a really clean barn because you don't have any oxen there doing any work. I'm going to tell you, if you go to some of these hobby farms and stuff that you'll see and take a tour, and they take kids and they'll show them all the farm animals and such, you'll notice everything's really clean. I'm going to tell you why, because they're not making a lot of progress. They're making their money off those tours. Now, if you go to a dairy farm or a ranch or any type of, whether it be a goat or goat farm or sheep or horses or whatever, you go to one that is really a working system, they're going to have some messy barns. They're not going to have the fanciest equipment. What they're going to have works, because that's where they're making a living. The same type of principle applies in our ministry. If you're going to want to make progress, if you're going to want to get some work done, there's going to be some problems created by it. And they're not necessarily going to be fun problems. It was not fun. I remember we sold out of dairy when I was, in the fifth or sixth grade. I remember having to scrape out the lot and, clean the dairy barn. And that was not fun work. It was hard work. It was smelly, of course, but you had to do it. And that's the same thing. There's going to be some things pop up in your ministry that just aren't really fun. I do not enjoy dealing with discipline problems. I don't know anybody that does. There's some people that act like it, but I don't know anybody that enjoys dealing with discipline problems. But I know that if I'm going to reach kids, there's going to be some discipline problems, and I have to deal with that. I know that if I'm going to have a lot of kids in there, there's eventually may have a kid come in with head lice. That happens quite a bit. About once a year or so, it seems like we freak out and think that some kid may have brought in some head lice. Well, for the sake of not bringing in head lice, are we going to quit running buses? Are we just going to not have children's church ministry? No, by all means, no. For the sake of having a quiet, calm service, are we going to just kick out all the kids who may not be able to sit really quite still? No, we're not going to do that. We want the kids in there. We're going to deal with them as best we can to an point. And I say, now there's a line that they can cross where they don't need to be in the service, but you're going to have some of these issues. You need to deal with them. Don't focus on them. Don't focus on these problems. All that is, it's just the price of getting things done. My dad was over here, and we were building some shelves in the closet at our house, and we have some scrap lumber. Well, you say, wow, I just hate picking up, scrap lumber and stuff like that. Well, unfortunately, that's kind of a byproduct, the price of being paid for building those shelves. We've got some little piece of wood I need to pick up. Haven't done it yet. I need to. But, you can say, well, I just hate cleaning up, so I'm not going to get anything done. That's what the verse in Proverbs talks about. So, don't focus on the problems. They'll be there. They're really not so much problems. A problem is something that I think would occur that you're not expecting, and when something goes wrong. Some of this is just natural things that are going to happen. And it's just the cost of doing business, you could say. I'm going to hit just a few quick points here to finish this lesson out. And looks like I've got six of them here. And we're going to just a few things on helping you just put together a solid program, where even though there are these separate little sections and areas, it all comes across as one big program. First thing is, one part of your service is not more important than the others. Every part of your service has a different reason for being there. Every part of your service doesn't even have the same goal. But everything has a purpose. When you're up there leading scene, that gets kids' attentions. That prepares their hearts. You can get them thinking about religious things. You can have them start thinking about Jesus. You can, through songs you sing, have them start thinking about Jesus dying for us. You can sing about Jesus loves me and things like that. But you're preparing their hearts, you're capturing their minds, so the preaching will hit the target. So the singing prepares for the preaching. The preaching delivers that truth, and it presses for a decision from the kids. Now, it's hard to preach just cold turkey. Hey, kids, come in, sit down, let's get started, turn your Bibles to. That's hard to do. That you need to have the kids' attention before you get started, or you're going to be working half your time getting the kids' attention so you can deliver your message. So the preaching delivers that truth. It really takes advantage of the singing service has given to it. After the preaching, we have an invitation time. That encourages kids to come down and make a decision. It encourages kids to come down and accept Christ as their Savior. It encourages kids to seal a decision that they've made. It reaps the harvest that the preaching sowed in the ground that the singing plowed. That's one way to look at it. Then I've talked about also having just fun things, fun time. That adds spice and excitement throughout, and it helps make kids want to attend. It adds a lot of excitement. It makes kids want to be there. You know, what good is it if you have a great sermon and you are going to be preaching the gospel if kids don't want to be there? That's what the fun time's for. Everything has its place, and in its place, there can be nothing more important. One part of the service is not more important. The singing is not more important than the preaching. The preaching is not more important than the singing. It may sound extreme, but the invitation is not so much more important than the preaching. But they are when it comes to what they're there for. Every one of those is vital. You could not have an effective service without one of those four areas, or two of those four areas, or three of those four areas. Every one of those four areas needs to be there if you want to have an effective children's church ministry. Second thing, keep things flowing. Avoid the dreaded pause. You need to keep things going. When one thing ends, another one begins. In fact, you may not even want to necessarily have that sharp cutoff. You may want to blend that so as one's winding down, another one's beginning. For instance, let's say, you know, your song leader's up there leading singing. Well, as soon as he finishes his last song, the preacher then comes up, gets behind the pulpit, and starts trying to preach. Well, if you do that as two separate actions, you have, you know, he holds out, sings the last note, you know, of Jesus Loves Me, or whatever the last song it is. As soon as he holds out that note, then the preacher comes. Well, there's a little bit of a pause there. You're asking for trouble. I'm going to tell you, a very simple thing you can do with this is during the last chorus of that song that the song leader is singing, have the preacher come on up, get behind the pulpit, get his Bible, and get ready. That way, so there's no time. So as soon as that last note is cut off that the kids are singing, the preacher can take over and start right in. That way there's no pause, no break in the action. You need to act quickly if you see these pauses start occurring. If it takes a little bit of experience, a little bit of planning, and a lot of experience and practice, but if you see that there's a little bit of pause, jump in there and try to do something. If you're one of the leaders, if you're the song leader, the preacher, try to do something. If I'm a little bit late getting up there, if I'm supposed to be preaching and I'm on my way up there to set my Bible on the pulpit, I'm not going to wait till I set my Bible down and pull out my notes or anything like that. I'm going to be talking as soon as that last song is sung. If I'm leading the singing and I see the preacher's not quite ready, I'm not going to stop and wait for him to come up there. I'm going to immediately jump into another song. Take action to keep things flowing. Thirdly, keep everything focused on your goal. Now, I'm going to be honest, I think that there's two major goals in your children's church ministry. The first thing is to see children saved. The second one, which is not a lesser goal, is to see kids grow in their Christian walk. Those, you know, our main thing is not necessarily being evangelistic. I don't want to just bide time out, but I want to make an impact on those kids that aren't saved. Our goal is not to occupy time or babysit or to, you know, get all the kids out of the main service so they can do their thing up there. No. Our goal is to make an impact in these kids' lives. First off, through presenting the gospel and having them be saved. But second off, in practical things of teaching them how to be good Christians, of them learning things out of the Bible. Some that may be a little bit better suited for Sunday school, but those things need to be part of your goal. My goal is not to entertain. My goal is not to babysit. My goal is not to be everybody's friend. Some of those things may happen. Some of those do happen, you know, by default as you're doing some of this. You know, you're babysitting because you are keeping these kids occupied. But nonetheless, you need to keep things in focus. Keep things focused on what your goal is. Don't get sidetracked. Some people lose sight of their goal for the sake of a program. They'll think, wow, we've got this great program. We have very little discipline problems. But they're not making an impact in these kids' lives. Some people have... make a good impact in kids' lives with a very unstructured program. Very few. But there, it can come to a point to where you get so focused on putting together a good program or leading properly the songs or putting together just a homiletically sound sermon that you're not effective. You need to keep things focused on the goal. If you see things getting a little bit off of your goal and you see yourself getting focused more on the presentation or on preventing problems, you need to take some steps to get things back in focus. Keep things headed the right direction. Fourth, pray. I know I've spent quite a bit of time in this series talking about very practical things. I haven't used a lot of scripture. I haven't dealt with, you know, a lot of very spiritual sounding things, such as being filled with the Spirit or praying or studying your Bible or things like that. But you cannot minimize the power of prayer when it comes to leading a children's church program. In fact, it may be the most vital thing you can do to have a good ministry is to pray and have God's favor upon your ministry. There's nothing better you can do. Listen, there are some great preachers who have preached very great homiletically sound outlines and just fantastic speakers, but didn't have very good ministries. There's been some people who were uneducated, who didn't use good English, like I have done, and are very effective at seeing souls saved and seeing lives impacted for Christ. Well, what's the difference? I think sometimes the people that are uneducated, they got a little bit more focus into what the big picture really is. It's not what we do or how we do it. It's why we're doing it and who's empowering us to do it. A lot of that goes back to prayer. Fifth, prepare. This will help you out tremendously in your program, especially if you're just starting out. You need to know what's going to happen before it happens. You need to anticipate things. Now, that may come in the form, if you're leading singing, you may want to have a song list. And I'm going to sing this song, and then when that's done, sing this song. Then after that's done, sing this song. That will help you out tremendously, especially if you've never led singing before. That will help you out a lot. I've done it enough that I don't necessarily have to do that. I do have a song list, and I've talked about that a little bit before. I have a song list I do fall back to. If I can't think of a song, I'll glance at it and find an appropriate song. But you need to be prepared. You don't go up there and just wing your sermon. You need to have an idea of what you're going to say and why you're saying it. Don't just get up there to tell a Bible story. Have a reason why you're telling this Bible story. You can keep pushing it towards a goal. You need to be prepared, if you're going to have a game, to have everything there, to have all the stuff there, and prepared to give it time to do it. Something that happens many, many times in children's ministries is you'll run a promotion, and you'll build it up for weeks, and say, after the service on this day, this coming date, we're going to go out and we're going to have this great activity. We're going to go out and we're going to play this game, and the winner of the game is going to get this gigantic prize. And the kids are all excited, then the day comes, and the preaching goes a little long. And then all of a sudden, you are shortening that game that you've promoted to next to nothing. You know what that is? That's a lack of preparation. A lack of foresight, saying, I really need to cut my sermon down because we've got some other stuff that we're taking advantage of. That really has a lot to do with preparation. Adjustments are easier made than entirely new plans. You may get in there and you have a order of service that you're wanting to follow. Get in there and realize, oh my goodness, I've only got about 10 minutes left. What am I going to do? I've got enough stuff for 20 minutes. Well, it's easier to adjust to fill 10 minutes than to sit there and think, wow, what am I going to do? Boy, we got done way early. I've probably got at least 15 minutes to kill here, and I'm done with the singing, the invitation, and the preaching, and everything. What in the prepared? Have things to fill time. Have a plan in place. If things go a little bit long, how can I get things done quicker? How can I get out quicker? All that goes back to preparation. And last of all, never stop learning. Always look for new tools and ideas for your ministry. Don't get stuck in a rut. Don't continually do the same thing every week in, week out. It loses the excitement. It loses the appeal. If kids come back there and they can pretty much quote to you the order of your songs every week and you don't variate very much from that, you've probably got an issue. You need to be learning new songs, playing new games. You need to be keeping that freshness and excitement going in your children's church if you want to be effective. Children's church ministry, it may be one of the easiest ministries to be in comparatively to other things. I mean, such as a jail ministry or like a rescue mission. There's a lot of things about children's church ministry that are very easy when they're compared to other ones. At the same time, there's a lot of this very challenging. And a lot of it's very intimidating, dealing with kids, and especially if you have kids that aren't used to sitting still and listening, it can be a daunting challenge, and it can be something that really will push you to your limits. Nonetheless, the Children's Church Ministry is probably one of the most rewarding ministries there is. You are laying the foundation for these children's future spiritual lives, in reaching them for Christ, having them be saved, leading them to Christ, and then also in preparing them and teaching and training them to live a Christian life. You're doing all this stuff in this very short period of time. It really is amazing. And I've spoken about it before in one of the early lessons. I mean, it is important that we reach these kids while we can. So don't lose focus of why you're doing this. Keep that excitement. Keep that initial zeal. You won't. It's hard to stay excited about things, I realize. But you need to stay focused and stay excited with it. And I hope that this series has been a blessing to you, that this will be a help to you, and hopefully help your children's church ministry be more effective in reaching kids. I pray that it is. God bless.